Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey now, Semper Fi, what is up? Welcome into this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick. Good to have you aboard. We're just getting started. Coming up at 5:10, Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning coach. That's a big get as we get a picture as to how LSU, their football program, is going to return to action in June when they can have voluntary on-campus workouts. Brad Botkin, NBA writer for SB Sports, will join us at 5:35. UNO men's basketball head coach Mark Schlesinger, friend of the program, at 6:20. And Elena Getzenberg, Panthers reporter for the Charlotte Observer, will join us at 7:20. First, though, this hour, I want to jump off into some LHSAA news momentarily. But first, though, Bobby, the Sky Judge proposals and the NFL are being withdrawn prior to tomorrow's virtual meeting on rule changes. You can expect the NFL to test some expanded booth to official communication systems in the preseason, but no officiating personnel added for 2020. What's your reaction to that, Bobby?
Well, why wouldn't you add an NFL official in the booth? I want to say they'd be the eighth official if it makes the game better. It can't be because of money. You know, that's the salary you have to pay. But, I mean, why? Because it'd be an official that'd be familiar with his peers, and they'd be all on the same page and wanting to get it right. So who would be against that? That is mind-boggling. That's very puzzling that they would not be for that, because in this day and age, how you want to get the call right on the field, you might say, well, you don't want to slow down the game. But with technology today, you can be efficient, and that would not be the case. So, Christian, someone has to explain that to me, why that wouldn't benefit the game by having that extra, eye in the press box overseeing things to be able to coordinate and get the call right on the field with the officials. It wouldn't be some outside source. It'd be someone that's coming from the official ranks and be part of that fraternity. So why do you think? I don't understand that. It can't be about money. Well, why would you want to add an official to get it right? I mean, what is your take?
Yeah, I don't have an explanation either. It can't be about money. I think a lot of it just has to do with, man, some of these old school thinkers. These old school thinkers that say, we don't need to complicate this thing. They're resistant to change. I mean, we know that there's still a lot of owners out there that technology scares them, to be honest with you. And the change scares them to a degree. That's my only explanation for it, Bobby. And I don't know if that's even a good one.
Yeah, I don't know to say you're afraid of change. You're going to be left behind if you don't change, no matter what the sporting league. You have to look almost like a decade in advance. You have to look at where the game's at right now, where it's going to be, and be a visionary, like 2030. So for them to not want to get the call on the field right, what happened to the Saints with the non-call, that should never, ever happen again. You just have to get that right. It was so obvious. Now I understand, that the rule they put in, and that was a debacle, how they were so inefficient in New York to get that done. But what if you had an official at the game in the press box interacting with the officials? Why would you be against that? Because it'd be what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. So I do not understand that. Is it just that the older owners are intrigued with the human element, and that the judgment call, well, it's almost like with technology today, you can take the judgment call out of play. Now, you make the call, it's a fast-paced game, but then ultimately you got to get it right. There's too much money on the line when you look at these games, point spreads, and all that come about. So, again, I think this will come about eventually, but why not right now? If you have the technology to get it right and you are speeding up the game and not necessarily slowing it down, but, again, I would like to – you know, talk to the owners or something. I would think Gail Benson, considering what happened to the Saints, she wouldn't be against this with the Saints. But again, wait, Chris, what do you have to have? 23 owners to approve of this?
24, supermajority.
Okay, 24. So even if you had 20, 21, 22 owners and then it doesn't pass. To me, well, then you got to lobby those other owners and convince them why this would be good for the game. And I think as a fan, a fan's perspective and the money involved, I don't know how you cannot want to better the game on the field and keep the officials out to not have an impact whether you win or lose.
I don't quite understand it either. I think it's one. It's a typical thing that we've seen the NFL collectively. They're really kind of reactive and not proactive. So until they do the right amount of research on anything, what they feel is the right amount of research on things, they're going to be very, very resistant to change. So we'll see.
Well, and Christian, when you talk about, when you talk about resistance to change, it could come up next year. Or I'd be shocked if this is not implemented by, let's say, a half a dozen years or 2025. But why does it take so long? It's just because. You know, you could be stubborn. The older you get, the more stubborn you get sometimes. And you look at these owners, oh, I kind of like it the way we've always had it. But again, you got to change with the times. And what is right is right. The same thing, whether you get a first down or not, don't we have the technology as far as, you know, you look at the chain gang. We all love the chain gang out there.
Yeah, but you can have it
exactly right. Whether it's a first down or not, okay, that slows down the game. Let's bring out the chain and measure it. I don't know, maybe that's old school.
Remember Gene Steratore a couple years ago? He put out an index card to measure if it was a first down or not. Come on.
No, that was a joke. I mean, when that came about, that was almost comical when you think about and I guess they were having fun with it doing that. But you don't even need that today. You have lasers and all that. You can have it if you cross the plane at a goal line or you got a first down or you achieve 10 yards. Come on, that's something that you can't be stubborn. You have to change your technology, and that'll make the game better. And, again, what's right is right and is wrong whether you have – even you can have that in NCAA football in a big college game that could be significant whether you win or lose. I don't know how – you wouldn't want to do that if you are progressive enough to see where the game's going and to get it right for the fans. And again, to get it right for the fans, but also the money that's involved, whether you make the right or the wrong call.
Bobby, after our break here, four prominent schools, high schools, and football programs are being investigated by the LHSAA. You know how I feel about the LHSAA and their ability to investigate anything. We'll
so what are they investigating? It's almost the LHSAA. It's kind of like the NCAA.
Yeah.
Do people trust them? I mean, overall, you look at the Power Five, and they trust their decision-making and their investigation, whatever. That to me, is also, considering what we're dealing with the virus, and all of a sudden they're calling out four high schools and all. You can elaborate more on that, and I'll comment also.
All right, we'll do that next here on Sports Talk on WWL. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Got plenty to come in the 5 o'clock hour. Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning coach, also getting a new text line. It's the same number you've come to grow and know so well, and it's 504-260-1870. So program that in your phone. It's one you can call or text on the same number, 504-260-1870. Bobby, I talked about it before we took a break there, and you and I spent quite a bit of time about a year and a half ago digging into the inner workings of the LHSAA and how they truly conduct investigations. A report today comes out that four, and they're prominent schools in pro football programs, and I'm not going to name them right now. I know the four schools, but I'm not going to name them just yet. Four schools are reportedly being investigated by the LHSAA for violations of holding football activities on campus. And one of the things that we learned about the LHSAA investigators, our investigation into Hanville and Andrew Robinson a couple of years ago, is we learned that their investigations are not, they're not geared or motivated in any way, shape, or form to do anything but find guilt of their investigation. And they don't have a high burden of proof. They don't have to have a standard that they must, you know, reach. And we also learned that their investigators are not properly trained in investigations. And of these four schools, one of them had two professional football players and three college players working out on their campus. And the evidence was presented to them by the LHSAA with pictures of these workouts with those two professional football players and three college players. And that's what the LHSAA is going to zero in on, and they're going to ignore the fact that these are not student-athletes at Holy Cross, and they're not organized by the coaches, and they're going to say, hey, you're guilty anyway. That's what's wrong with the system. And what I really have an issue with is the system is also set up to where, Bobby, if you're at name a school, I don't know, if you're at EJ and you don't like me and I'm coaching at Destrehan, you can just submit to the LHSAA, hey, I need you to go investigate them. And they will. And there's no sifting through, well, what's the violation? What are you alleging? Let's discuss that. And they also don't look at the underlying stories that might be between these two schools, in particular in the Catholic League. Look, Catholic League schools, they rat on each other all the time because it's, hey, if I can get this school in my division, in my league, to take a step back because I turn in a violation that is really not a violation, but the LHSAA will slam them anyway because that's what they do, then that's a win for that school.
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like it's out of their jurisdiction. I mean, now, if you tell me there was high school athletes working out when they're not supposed to be working out,
I have a problem with it.
Then I think that would be different. But to say, like, look at Tom Brady, what he's doing in Tampa or different venues. Christian, even when I played, I can remember. And I was thankful that Mandeville High School in St. Paul's, I would go run sprints or utilize the track. Now, we weren't dealing with the virus, but I'd still go work out. You know, it wasn't like it is today where you train year-round at the facility, but you had to stay in shape. So if you're not dealing with high school athletes, I don't even know what the high school association, what would they even bitching about? Like, what? These are pro athletes. You might say, oh, that's attractive to a young player if a pro goes work out for that particular school. So I don't know. Maybe it's all about connections there. So, but I still don't have a problem with that. So to me, that's almost the incompetence of the investigators, or maybe not having enough of them, or they're not informed that they're able to do the investigation where you're not guilty and you got to prove you're innocent. You should be innocent. Then you got to prove them guilty. It's very similar to the NCAA, where at times they can be overwhelmed and they don't have enough investigators to look into these things. But to take that approach and to look at four high schools, like you were saying, that maybe are bending the rules. They're not bending the rules. There's no high school athletes involved. It's, you know, professional or college athletes training at the facility. So, I don't even know why it's even an issue. I almost want to laugh at that.
Again, it's the system that's set up. It's the system that's set up that allows for the LHSAA to conduct these frivolous, really loosey-goosey kind of investigations with no burden of proof. And it doesn't matter what evidence a school might present to the contrary, explaining to the LHSAA what actually was going on. The LHSAA does not care to know that. They don't want to know that. They turn a blind eye on that all the time. If they investigate you, listen, if they investigate you, it doesn't behoove them to have an investigator come back to them that works for them. If I work for the LHSAA as an investigator, I'm going to kind of go, oh, well, there I'm employed by the LHSAA, so I'm motivated to show them that the findings that they thought were there are there, kind of. If I can prove that, you know, I don't really have to prove it, but I'm not going to go back to the LHSAA if I'm an investigator for the LHSAA and say, oh, no, they didn't do anything wrong, because then I don't have a job.
Yeah, well, that definitely makes sense, but it all, to me, starts with leadership, and you have to have the right leader and say, why are we even investigating this? This is bogus. And then, you know, you get the facts and all, and then you look, but to let it string along and to challenge, you know, a particular high school and the situation, that you have to have the right, if you have the right leadership, I think this does not even come to the forefront as far as even being an issue. Does that make sense?
Say that one more
time. If you have the right leadership, was that?
What was the question you asked me, Bobby?
No. Like, to me, if you have the right leadership, and then even before this even gets out in the open in the public, that this is like, it's not swept under the rug, but it's not even an issue because you're not dealing with high school athletes. Does that make sense?
Care. I mean, they don't care. No, that makes sense, but they don't care because,
well, you can't be that arrogant.
If they find these schools, there's an incentive. By the way, the bylaws are set up, there's an incentive for the LHSAA to find schools to take money. There's an incentive there, and on top of that,
the investigators will have a job, and so they're always looking for something. I mean, I don't know if that's the right way to go about things. I don't know.
No, but the bigger thing is, if you call any of these schools, not just the current schools that are under investigation, anytime you call any school, they're shaking in their boots to talk to you candidly at all, because they know that if the LHSAA even thinks or finds out that they did talk to the media, that they're going to slam them even harder. They remove all the power from these schools by getting perhaps to the media and telling the true story, the truth, because the LHSAA doesn't want to fight in the media. We heard that from Eddie Bonine the last time he was on our show. It was 22 minutes of him just getting shredded because he didn't have any answers whatsoever. And these schools are it's like a Gestapo. They are fearful of retaliation, even if they beat them on a case. Then the LHSAA is going to go back in a year or 6 months and find them in violation of something else.
It goes back to the power of the select and the non-select, you know, private versus public schools. But when you think about the number of schools compared to Texas, does Texas even have any of these issues? I mean, think about Texas like a whole country. I mean, in itself. I mean, that's a bunch of BS that we've been dealing with this in Louisiana. You can't get it right. Again, I think it all starts with leadership and not understanding the circumstance of that what you're investigating and not going about it the right way. I mean, that is something. That's one thing. All the great athletes you have in Louisiana per capita, we produce the most professional athletes, like I want to say football players. But when you look at the investigation and how they go about things, I mean, they just it's just not the right leadership. They're not getting it done the right way. And like I said, if you look now, it's all different things, how you go about it in Florida, Texas, California, because of the population. But right here is Texas, right on our border. It seems like, well, they got high school athletics or football. They do it right. And it seems like maybe it didn't come to the forefront and we don't hear about all these issues, but it just seems like we have a lot more problems than we should have considering nitpicking and dealing with this when it's not even high school athletes. It's professional athletes maybe training on your campus. And I mean,
which they can't govern that. The LHSAA cannot govern that.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's a bunch of BS. I mean, it's like, I mean, to me, it should be a non-issue.
Bobby, there's going to be more to come on this as we move forward. I'm starting to get more. I'm starting to gather a lot of information, and we'll continue to stay on this story that's developing. We've got a couple of things we're going to get to when we step away and come back. The Saints preseason dates have been finalized. We'll go over that. Also, could the Pelicans be one of those teams on the playoff bubble and be included in a 16-team playoff?
I hope so.
Maybe a playoff, a play-in kind of tournament. They're in
play-in, I hope so. The Pelicans should be in a play-in situation going forward the NBA season, without a doubt.
Yeah, it could include the 16 playoff teams and the four teams on the playoff bubble, the Blazers, Kings, and Pelicans, and Spurs.
Well, that's common sense. I don't know. That's common sense, Christian, if they go about that route. You know who has a lot of common sense when it comes to the NBA? Mark Cuban. I listened to a lot of what Mark Cuban says about the league. He's one of those owners that knows what he's doing.
Yeah, look, we talked a little bit about this possibility yesterday. We're going to hold off on the break. We'll take it at 40. But we'll just go ahead and keep it here with this news of the NBA reportedly in conversations to return to play that includes the 16 playoff teams right now. So the current top eight seeds in the East and West, plus four Western Conference teams on playoff bubbles, and that is the Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, and Spurs. Bobby, we talked a little bit about this proposal, this idea yesterday, and we kind of were getting news that it was just going to be the 16 teams, but this is certainly positive news to at least include these teams that maybe were making a run, in particular for a Pelicans team that was certainly in the softer part of their schedule.
Well, the only one that'd be against this would be the Grizzlies. You know, they don't want none of the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Kings, the Trailblazers, whatever. So you want the best teams in the playoff picture. You want the star power. Well, the one thing we have in New Orleans, we have the star power in Zion. So, boy, give them an opportunity to be in that mix. And I think ultimately long-term, you get that playoff experience, and that could benefit you. And if it doesn't occur, the Pelicans say, well, we just have to live on, you know, to fight another day. But listen, right now, if they can be in the thick of things, considering all that adversity the NBA has faced, the Pelicans should have an opportunity. I'm not saying they're going to win anything, but they should be at least have an opportunity to be invited to the dance.
I'm with you there. Hey, look, at this point, and you always say less is more. Well, I say more is welcome in this instance, just because of everything that we've gone through. And I think that you might stumble upon a new format that fans really, really eat up.
Well, you look at the NHL. Now, we say, well, we're the NBA, we're not the NHL. They abandoned the rest of the regular season. They go straight into the playoffs. But instead of 16 teams, they have 24 teams. When they're going to resume play, that's what they're aiming to do. And, you know, they're kind of ironing out the format, what they're going to do as far as health and safety protocols to solve other issues. But they kind of ironing out the format to narrow down the two potential playoff host cities that's going to come about. And I think Orlando's a slam dunk considering with ESPN and the NBA, how they connected to have it there. To have like when they were all younger, a lot of these stud players, they all experienced AAU tournaments in Orlando, you know, when they were 13, 14, 15 years old. So I think people would tune into this. It'd be unbelievable. I think people would probably watch the NBA more than they've ever watched in the past, just having this type of atmosphere and almost like a tournament, a playoff scenario from the get-go and trying to have the best going against the best.
Also, the Saints preseason schedule, Bobby, is out, and the dates are finalized. Let's see. Saints and Rams, week one, they're going to open the newly constructed SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, when they play the Los Angeles Rams on Friday, August 14th, 9 p.m. Central kickoff. So a late postgame show for you and I. Man, we're going to be on the air well into Saturday morning. Week one, though, is
So that'd be Rams. Like a 7 o'clock kickoff in California, 9 for us. But, hey, listen, we just won football, and whether it's even preseason football, you might say, well, who really cares about that? Right now, we would like almost take anything. You know, when you're talking about the preseason and all, what comes about there. So, Christian, the one that caught my attention is that looking at the Saints to open the preseason on the road for the fifth time in the past six seasons, they've been basically a 500 team. It doesn't really matter there, but to show you the significance of the Saints, and you might say, well, it's not a real game. But think about this. The Saints are opening up two venues. It might be one preseason, one regular season, but the first game that counts for the Raiders, the Saints are there. And their new Alliance Stadium in Las Vegas and their new stadium in Los Angeles, a professional football game. You know, you might not have fans and stuff, so the atmosphere would be different. But the Saints would be in that number. But boy, that just shows you that from a national perspective, the fans would be, I guess, in tune, even though it would be a preseason game because what happened with the non-call. Now, people remember that just to reflect on, because they still viewed the Rams as a competitive team, trying to get it to the playoff mix. They looked at the expanded playoffs. They would have been in last year like the Steelers. But just to have that kind of game, Rams versus Saints, even though it's a preseason game, but Christian, looking at a 7 p.m. kickoff, the whole nation will watch that. I mean, it just looks like that would be the type of game that a network would want to have if you're promoting preseason games, that being between the Rams and the Saints, and the Rams actually having their first professional game. And Christian, off the top of my head, I want to say that they're playing in the new stadium before the Chargers, so that would actually be the first football game played in the new venue.
They're opening SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. We'll get to weeks two and three and four of the Saints preseason scheduled dates. They are finalized. We'll talk about that next. This is Sports Talk here on WWL and Radio.com. Back here on Sports Talk, lots to unpack. We heard about the LHSAA investigating four prominent high school football programs and schools. The NBA is considering resuming the season with 16 playoff teams plus the four bubble teams in the West. And now we're going over the Saints finalized the preseason dates. Week two, the Saints head north to face the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Ketchup Bottle Sunday, August 23rd. The contest will be on national television on Fox. And the Saints lead the Steelers 9-7 in the regular season series. Pittsburgh holds a 9-3 edge in the preseason, Bobby.
Christian, and looking at that game at Pittsburgh, that was something that was slated from the get-go. I mean, that was like it wasn't. So when are we playing the Rams? Do you have the date
right in front of you? Friday, August 14th.
Okay, because they said, okay, the flexibility, August 13th to the 17th. Now we know it's on the 14th. But they always had this plugged in, August 23rd at Pittsburgh, 7 p.m. on Fox. Now, if you look at it, Christian, and, you know, the expanded playoffs, it just shows you competition. So, you know, you're going against good players. Both the Rams, at the Rams and at Pittsburgh, they would have been the last two teams that would have been invited to the playoffs, considering the expanded, playoff scenario that we're going to have right now. So, to me, I think it's a good measuring stick. When you look at young talent, where teams are at Los Angeles, going at Pittsburgh, August 23rd, 7 p.m. on Fox. Now, look at this contest. It's going to mark the first time that the Saints have played in Pittsburgh in a preseason game. Now, the Steelers won this back. You got to go back to 1975, the last time we played the Steelers in the preseason. So I think as far as competition, I think that is – to kind of look at your depth and where your team's at. I think that is relative to as far as playoff teams and who's relevant going against on August the 14th against the Rams on August 23rd at Pittsburgh. That's a good early measuring stick.
In particular, you might see Big Ben make his initial return, his first return to action throwing the football. There's been some talk that he probably won't be quite ready to throw the football in a game in week one. They're going to hold him out of that. So might see Big Ben make his return as well. It's always good to see some of the better quarterbacks play, whether it's preseason or the regular season. Week three, they kick off their 2020 Mercedes-Benz Superdome slate, playing at home against the Houston Texans on Saturday, August 29th. 5-5 preseason record against the Texans, 3-2 in the regular season, and they got above the 500 or the even mark when they came from behind to beat the Texans 30-28 in the season opener last year over Houston.
Right. Well, Christian, when you look at that game, again, another great measuring stick, because you think at least play a half or to play maybe 2.5 quarters for your starters, the most meaningful preseason game, if it is status quo compared to the past going forward. And to me, I don't know. We should play the proximity AFC versus NFC. We should play the Houston Texans every preseason. We all know last year, like you said, that was, a regular season opener that was very highly entertaining. The Saints came out on top 30-28, but I think we should play them in the preseason every year. Kind of like the old Tennessee Titans, they were the Houston Oilers. We played them more than anybody because of the proximity again. So I think that should be the case with the Houston Texans going forward. And considering where their organization is at and how competitive and how not quite as dominant as the Saints as we're going for 4-peat, but they've been pretty dominant in the AFC South, winning that division. I think, again, another high-quality opponent when you're looking at your roster and who you're competing against. So, Christian, I'm looking at it right here just to get ready for 2020 at the Rams, at Pittsburgh, Houston at home. That's about – as good as it gets when you look at 3 preseason games considering your opponent, and they're looking to be playoff relevant for the 2020 season.
Yeah, you're getting some good quality competition, against teams that have either been on the cusp of playoffs.
So Christian, what is your take on? I don't, because normally, how Sean Payton did with the Chargers, how we went out there and practiced against them, they played in the preseason game. Do you think they'll have that this year? I don't think so. What is your take on that?
As far as
you practice against a team a couple of days and you play them, you think that'll happen or not?
I think the more likely scenario or scenarios are the Saints traveling to Pittsburgh to practice against the Steelers. They're in the AFC, so no harm there. Or the Texans could come to New Orleans for a couple of days prior to preseason game number 3. But I think that Payton does want to get into cooler climates. He's talked about that. He wants to get into cooler climates. And where do the Steelers hold training camp? What college is it? I'm trying to remember.
I think I want to say Latrobe, Pennsylvania. They're still there. Like, that's old school. Latrobe, if I'm pronouncing it right, Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I want to say that's where they've had training camp. It would be very similar, I think. Weather-wise, it could be a little hotter, but very similar to the Saints practicing at the Greenbrier. If you had those scheduled practices against the Steelers, considering where they have training camp. I mean, I think I'm pretty close to that, if that would be the case. But then you look, Christian, right now. Yeah, right now, though, that's one... One more opportunity that you have to deal with as far as traveling and competing, which, again, it does not count. And when you're trying to deal with the virus and the pandemic and all that, that's why I said I don't know if they would maybe do that this year. Now, I might be wrong, and they might come out with and Sean Payton might say, well, it's going to be kind of what we've done in previous preseason as far as practicing against opponent. But I would not be surprised if they don't go that route this season.
What, and not have preseason games at all?
No, not having practice against another team.
Oh, yeah. I think the more likely scenario is going to be Houston.
And I think the most likely scenario is that they won't do it. I might be wrong, but I just think they'll play the preseason games, but not necessarily having those competitive. It's like what – 3 really good practice, you could say a couple of days. But I just don't think from a logistical standpoint that maybe they'd want to deal with that. I might be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
All right, the Saints will close out the preseason at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against the Miami Dolphins on September 3rd, 7 p.m. kickoff, Thursday, September 3rd.
So the Dolphins are not relevant. They're trying to be relevant.
Get to see Tua, maybe.
Christian, Miami has been sorry, considering they're the only team to ever go undefeated in NFL history. Now you're going back to the early 70s and stuff, but when I read this, this is unbelievable. You know how you're always trying to, and hopefully that's not the case never with the Saints, because, boy, it's hard to replace the man. You know, the man was Joe Montana. They had Steve Young waiting in the wings. Boy, look at Brett Favre, what he accomplished with the Packers. Then they had Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings. Then you look at the Colts. You had Peyton Manning. Then you had Andrew Luck. But, look, John Elway had to go get Peyton Manning because the Broncos could not find the next John Elway. But the Dolphins, that is the poster child for not being able to find the next guy to replace Dan Marino. When I read this, I did not know this.
Bobby, we got to get to a break here soon.
But the Miami Dolphins, incidentally, are the only NFL team this century. Now think about this. We're going to like 20 years, two decades. The Dolphins are the only NFL team this century not to have a quarterback make the Pro Bowl. The only NFL team. Dan Marino was the most recent Dolphin to achieve that, and that was 1995. So, you don't think they prayed for Tua? Come on, Tua. Tank for Tua. Now, I don't know if he'll beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick game one, but the Dolphins have been incompetent at quarterback considering what Dan Marino achieved.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.